Feeling all right. RPP FM 98.7, Kate Sobrano. We're heading for a top of 17 degrees.
17 degrees, Kate Sobrano, come down and see us on the 11th of June.
Yes.
I need to get your tickets. In fact, I think they're selling out really fast. She'll be playing at the Grand.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
We're going to have a good night.
We are. We're definitely going to be there.
We'll be at the front.
We are. Absolutely, we'll be there. So look, I'm going to get started on this interview that I did a couple of weeks ago with Kate. You know, you can all have a good giggle at my excitement as, you know, I first heard a voice and we started nattering, just having a coffee natter while she was relaxing at home. Mm. How cool is that? So here we go. Kate Sobrano, the first section of three.
Hey, look, we just want to say a big thank you for, you know, taking time out of your day to hang out with us at Your Story Counts. It's just my show with RPP down here at the Mornington Peninsula. I hear that you're actually coming down to play, which is fabulous.
Yeah, oh, God, and I love coming down there. I just think you guys are so blessed. It's like God's country.
It really is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Main Street in winter, you know, it could be a little village anywhere in Europe, couldn't it? It's just absolutely stunning.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, yeah. I actually travel down there quite a lot. It's very Melbourne, you know, and I say Victorian rather.
Yes.
My husband's from the Northern Beaches. So that wonderful profile there of the ocean through winter, there's nothing like it.
Well, we hope you can come down and spend some time, maybe go and have, you know, a hot spring bath or something like that and have a big long walk along the beach or something while you're here.
Yeah, that's great.
Hey, look, you know, talking to you now, it's quite funny. I feel like I've just walked into that classic movie. Remember Notting Hill? You know, do you remember where you've got, you know, you've got Julia Roberts and you've got Hugh Grant, and then remember Will brings home Anne Scott, you know, to the family meal.
I do.
Do you remember that? And then you've got Emma Chambers who plays the role of Honey, and Honey's just thinking, oh my God, you know, all my dreams have come true, and I'm just going to assume, you know, we are best friends forever because we're talking.
Oh, I know. I just love that scene. Go right ahead and assume as much as you like. That scene, I've kind of lived that scene from both sides. I've been Anna Scott, but I've also been Honey as well because and still to this day, I'm very aware that the artists I've loved and admired, you know, I've put them in a place that may be impossible for them to ever live up to, you know.
Well,
and
you know, it's funny, isn't it? Because
you don't want to almost talk about it because if you are the artist, you don't want to disappoint.
Well, I tell you what, my first live band experience and that electrical feeling of partying with my friends was at a Kate Sobrano, I'm talking Blue Light Disco, in the back of Springvale somewhere.
Wow. And I remember it.
Do you remember? And, you know, I think I must have been 15, and the crazy part is you would have been probably only 18, you know, not that much older, but, you know, myself and my friends, I don't think we could even organise our own school bags, and you had already moved out of home, found your creative path, and was already winning Countdown Awards and a music awards while hanging out with the boys from Hey Hey.
What an illustrious life, now you put it that way.
I know, you were living the dream. I mean, everyone wanted to be a pop star. Everyone wanted to travel overseas and, you know, have that adventure. And you were on set course, you know, to play for that guy from Risky Business, you know, Tom Cruise. I mean, you know, do you remember the lamb roast, you know?
I know. I remember saying to him, I often take you over the lamb roast, unlike, you know, other shows. The thing that I recall at the time was that Countdown, first of all, I've lauded Countdown as being the motivation behind my desire to get in and into a career early and certainly out of the house and sort of be independent, because there was this amazing period of life in the 80s and it was being transmuted from over the post-punk British, you know, community where a lot of the acts, they were seemingly homeless anyway. You know, you'd be listening to The Clash talking about living in squats and shared houses, and it was a whole culture of music being born out of the streets and with no other reason other than for the sheer joy of making music, you know.
Do you remember that song, Love Don't Live Here Anymore? And I remember Madonna, you know, she had her own rendition and it was the first time, and she had all the backing and, you know, and all the success and all the finances. Yeah. But I remember your rendition, and it was that epiphany for me that you don't have to be a star to be, you know, incredibly talented. You know, it was so rich and raw and deep. I still love it today. I mean, I was just playing it the other day.
No, I love it too. And actually, I'm talking as a collective, just about to get on board and re-release a lot of unmixed or unfinished pieces that we'd worked on before we broke up. And that band were a huge reason why I was able to land on my feet in and at that moment, because they were much, I guess they were more mature intellectually, academically. They had all of the things all lined up, but they just happened to find me this sort of wild card. And I used to, you know, I lovingly referred to myself as a fart in a bottle. They could put me on the stage, pull the ripcord, and off I just went, you know.
You did. You were bigger than life, and you had that depth also in your soul that you just seemed to already just know what your thing was. And I mean, for all of us, it's taken us years, you know, to find us.
I love that you think that, but I couldn't have been more embryonic. I was completely overwhelmed most of the time, but you know what? I didn't care. Today we're taught to deal and sort of moderate our behaviour and try to manage ourselves.
For sure.
Whereas, as I said, back in that day and in the 80s, it was more, the more unhinged you were, the more you were probably going to get attention. So you just kind of let it rip. You didn't try to curtail it.
You know, one of my passions, I guess, is helping right-brainers, because I do kinesiology as well. So, you know, I mean, you know, that's my real job. But really helping right-brainers find their own, you know, creative path. And a big part of our community, as you know, is experiencing depression and anxiety, you know, because to find your creative self and live it is probably quite a daunting process now compared to back then. What made you...
I think the water's been clouded perhaps by a bit of misuse of pop psychology, if you don't mind saying that, because I think we apply all these methods to ourselves in an effort to self-therapy, and I just think sometimes that can get pretty dangerous and mucky myself. Because I just know, I've seen artists come and go, you know, like I've seen them sort of medicating themselves with different methods, including alcohol and drugs. And I do think that what is actually lacking is a true understanding of what makes a person like that the way they are, and just allow them to do it safely. Do you know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean. I mean, that's my biggest passion is, you know, if kids and adults find their own creative voice, then... you know, that's what makes them feel like themselves. That's what lights them up. You know, that's the magic. I mean, you know, where do you think you would have been, you know, if you hadn't had that, you know, special quality in you that had that drive to get your music out there, to get your words out
there? Well, I think in the first place, because I hadn't really named music as my interest at the time. I was actually driven by cinema. I love a lot of the cinema, art cinema, and certainly I loved the Italian movies like Fellini and, you know, they were quite surreal. And I was watching those sorts of movies. You know, you'd have to travel all the way from Doncaster into town to go to the specialised cinema to see it. And so I understood my life in the way that I was embedding it for myself. One of the things today, and I've, you know, the perils of social media is that it's a constant mirror reflecting the image you think you're portraying, when in actual fact you're stultifying your image, because you're kind of in this static moment, this static, and you're being judged for it. Now, a kid who's sitting there trying to carve out a career or a life for himself, you know, you have to employ a lot of imagination. There's not a lot of imagination in the selfie culture, you know?
Yeah, well, you know what, and it's hard, isn't it? Particularly, I think, for the kids. I just interviewed Maxon, who's an amazing young talent who was on, The Voice last season, and she got knocked out early. But when you listen to her, she's very similar to you. You know, she's raw. She wants to keep it honest. You know, she's authentic. She's actually playing at the Grand on the 26th of May just
before. Fantastic.
She's absolutely beautiful. But, you know, and, you know, it's hard for someone like that that says, I don't want to fit into the mould. You know, I want to be true to my own heart. And, you know, how do they find that big break?
Well, see, now that's, you know, you're asking the wrong person, because big breaks don't mean anything to what matters more to me is that she keeps herself singularly and honestly intact in touch as a person, you know, and intact in, as far as her choices as a musician. I don't think she can fail if she really loves what she's doing and she's, you know, using all of her might as a person to do it. What I'd hate to think is that, like, I love the fact that she would have taken the opportunity to get herself known and get on the stage, and because I think you have to really go out of your way to get attention. You really do if that's what you want to do for your life. But I look at someone like that and I see other artists who come off the shows, and the ones that I love and I'm so proud of are the ones that are like, you know, they sort of stuck their middle finger and they're like, look, I am what I is. That's all very great, but I didn't sort of pass your measure, but I'm quite enough and I'll get out there and I'll just keep getting better. What's that book? Is it? I was just talking to someone about it yesterday, actually, the 10,000 hours or, well, no, what is it? If you apply a certain amount of hours, you get good at
that's
something.
That's right. That's right? It. Yeah.
That's the one.
It is. It's just that law of attraction. You know, you put enough time into something, it's got to come back at some point.
Yeah, and I really, for anyone in the business there, I just say just keep doing lots of it, waste a lot of it, and make a lot of errors. Don't be scared to fail and pick yourself back up and do it again, because the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Well, there you go. That was the first section of Kate Sobrano interview that I did a couple of weeks ago.
How wise is she?
Yeah.
Coming straight from the heart.
Yeah, I love that piece where she talked about, you know, stay authentic to yourself.
Yes, be true to yourself.
There is no such thing as a big break.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, it's just fabulous.
Because sometimes those big breaks are short-lived.
Yeah, that's right. And that's been her experience, hasn't it? Yeah. She's just evolved and evolved and evolved, you know.
And got richer and richer in spirit, you know.
Yeah.
And depth.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, but it was interesting. When I was talking to people about Kate Sobrano, I found that everybody had a story.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? A bit of a snapshot. You
know, because we've grown up with her.
Yeah.
Well, so our age group has.
We have, haven't we? She's like an iconic timeline.
Yeah.
What we want to do is we're just going to play one of her tracks from Jesus Christ Superstar, which was with John Farnham. You know, I Don't Know How to Love Him. Because we just wanted to show different kinds of genres that she's so adaptive with.
Yeah.
And after that, then I want to show you some snapshots of different people who had Kate Sobrano experiences. So let's get started.
You're listening to RPP FM 98.7, Your Story Counts with Nan and Simone. We're heading for a top of 17 degrees. That was I Don't Know How to Love Him from Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Kate Sobrano.
Yeah. I remember that production, actually.
Yes, so do I.
Do you remember? Yeah. I remember the movie. Yeah. It made a big impact, I think, on a lot of us when we were young. It was very powerful, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And for her to do that with John Farnham and I think John Stevens or something.
Yes, it was John Stevens.
Is that right? Yep. Yeah, it was very, very... Yeah, and she was so young because that was 92, so...
She's done so much in such a short time, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, she would have been, 26 or something like that, and she's, you know... Poof.
Do you know that she was queen of Moomba?
Was she?
Yeah, with Molly as king. Oh. It was like having two queens of Moomba, really.
Oh, she would have had a ball doing that. I can so imagine.
That was in 2010.
Oh, hilarious, 2010. But she's just been a part of our lives, hasn't she? In every aspect.
Yeah, she's just had the Moomba Parade.
Hilarious. Yeah. Moomba's not the same.
I know.
Without her being there. what we also did, as I said, is, you know, when every time I spoke to someone, they had a Kate Sobrano story, you know, a gig story, and some hilarious ones that I didn't get to speak to everyone. But there were some funny ones where even my sister-in-law, she was in an Adelaide concert and she'd met some lad. Yeah. You know, well, it's the atmosphere, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, it was an ex-boyfriend. Thank God it was an ex-boyfriend. Because my brother would have, you know, lost the right one.
That's right.
One of the best. You know, and there's many other stories that I spoke to people. So that's why I thought I might give some people a call and just hear, you know, some of their Kate Sobrano, you know, iconic memories.
Yeah.
So here we go.
Picked up in a little blue bus and swept off to another world. Bulura, when built in 1863, was said to be the finest mansion in the colony. Used as a viceregal retreat, a short period as the Mornington Grammar School, and the summer house of a succession of establishment Melbourne families, finally the home of John Tallis. Bulura, now open as a house museum with a difference, a theatre of the past. To explore this secret place, telephone 5975 2027 or visit us on the web. Google Bulura and all is revealed.
Denora Homewares have been servicing the kitchen and dining needs of the Mornington Peninsula for 5 years. Denora Homewares pride themselves on a wide variety of quality brands, excellent service and the right advice, plus loyalty discounts, seniors discounts, lay-by and free gift wrapping. At Denora Homewares, they put the customer first. Visit denorahomewares.com.au or drop in to Shop 3, 26 McLaren Place, Mornington. Phone 59768868. Denora Homewares Mornington, a proud station sponsor.
Hi, it's Nan here from RPP 98.7. Your story counts. What is your Kate Sobrano story?
Well, when I was 15, my brother took me along to the 21st Century Dance Club in Frankston, and I was a tall guy, so amazingly I got in, and we went in to see Kate Sobrano, and she had just released her Bedroom Eyes record, and I was really, really excited. It was somewhat unlawful, but I didn't care. I was 15. Mm-hmm. I ended up going home that night, and we had concocted a story, my brother and I, but unfortunately my parents found out and I got grounded for 2 months.
2 months?
2 months for going to see Kate Sobrano at the 21st Century Dance Club.
Well, I think that's a bit harsh, actually.
I thought it was a bit harsh, too. Then I missed out on seeing the U2 concert, which U2 were all the rage back then. So I gave up U2 for Kate Sobrano. And about 8 weeks of fun and frivolity with my friends.
Jeez, well, that is commitment. I'll give you that.
Ripped off. But it was worth it.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for your story. That's awesome. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Hi, it's Nan here from RPP. Your story counts. What's your Kate Sobrano story?
Okay, one memory I have, which I believe you may have raised this before, is about the Blue Light Disco.
Uh-huh.
And I remember managing to get backstage to ask her to sign my Reebok runner. And John Stevens was also in the band room at the time, so he jumped up to sign it. And I was kind of mortified because I wanted Kate to sign it, but I got John Stevens instead. So I didn't really want to seem rude, so I didn't push the issue and just left with his signature on my boot.
Oh, damn it. You know what? We might need to take that shoe for the 11th of June and go and see if you can't get that signed.
Yeah, it was about 1985. I'm tipping I've thrown those runners out. They're probably in the back of the wardrobe.
Fantastic story. Thank you very much for your time. That's awesome.
Cheers.
Hi, it's Nan here from RPP. What's your Kate Sobrano story?
Yeah, hi, Nan. I've been lucky enough to see Kate Sobrano twice.
Oh.
Once at the Twilight series at the Melbourne Zoo, and also at the gorgeous Steeble Tent in the Arts Centre Precinct in Melbourne.
Oh, beautiful. What was the Steeble Tent like?
Oh, just gorgeous. It's a tent that's well, it's made from wooden canvas and it's decorated with mirrors and stained glass, and it travels the world, I believe. And, yeah, it's just a really lovely venue to see artists. And, yeah, I was lucky enough to see Kate and be sitting very close to the stage, and it was just gorgeous. So I have a very fond memory of seeing that in about 2013, I think.
Ah, perfect. Well, thank you. That sounds like an amazing memory.
Thanks, Nan.
Hi, it's Nan here from RPP. What's your Kate Sobrano story?
Well, mine is that I went to one of Kate's gigs about 20 years ago. I think it must be that long ago.
Mm.
And it was in a little bar in Paran. And she's probably done heaps of gigs there. I can't even remember the name of the place. But she did tell a story about how she met her husband. So she,
do tell.
She's seen a photo of him. Either in a paper or a magazine. So she took it out and kept it and met him years later. And I thought, wow, that's serendipity, isn't it?
That is absolutely fantastic. So she manifested her own husband. Is that what you're saying?
She did. Oh, it's a true story. I didn't make it up. I'm sure she'll corroborate it. Yeah.
Absolutely fabulous. What a wonderful story. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, there she was.
Mm, absolutely. Kate Sobrano, some snapshots. You're listening to RPP 98.7. with Simone and Nan, and we're chatting about Kate Sperano because she's coming to town.
Well, it's so exciting.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, she manifests her own husband.
Well, that's what you do.
Yeah.
We all do that, don't we?
Yeah, for sure. So I think, you know, she found it in a magazine or something, thought he was pretty cute.
Yeah.
I think he was a cricketer or something.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And, for you know, met him years later.
That's so fantastic.
That's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Geez, I'm going to just flick through some magazines. Well, you anything do, you want, you know.
You do these amazing manifestation workshops, so, you know, we need to get on board with
it.
Yours.
That's it. I have to say, yeah, the power of the vision board really does seem to work, doesn't it?
It does. It's worked for me.
It has. And, you know, it's a timeline issue, though. That's the challenge.
Yeah. Well, we have no control over that. We have no. It's got to put it out there.
And you just have to be patient.
That's right.
All right. So, yeah, we want to do just play one of her songs that's more of the pop era, like we said, we talked about it before, which is Pash, and I think this was one of the songs that she actually wrote. So here we go, and the young kids are now reproducing it, so it's coming back in fashion, in vogue.
That's Pash, Kate Sobrano. You're listening to RPPFM 98.7, Your Story Counts with Nan and Simone. Isn't that the best song ever?
I know.
That gives you Pash confidence, I reckon, when you're out there.
Yeah, particularly
dancing.
When you're only in your 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like just go
yep.
for it.
Yep. It gave you Pash license, I reckon, to just go there and just smash your lips on someone.
Yeah. It's like that ambience, isn't it? Yep. That romantic ambience that she created.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when you think about it, with the amount of different gigs she's done.
How many babies do you think have been conceived?
There'd be a village.
Over that song.
Oh, yeah. My God. There's
little baby Kate Sobrano's out there everywhere. Little tribe. Actually, that could have been us.
Mm. Oh.
Without children.
So it could have been.
Actually, not probably you, me.
That's the Kate Sobrano power. Oh, yeah. Gee. Anyway, so we're going to move into the next section of the interview where we just natter like, you know, we've known each other forever. So
besties.
Yeah, that's it. That's us.
Yeah. I mean, we say, you know, in our world, you sort of make a plan, but, you know, plans don't go to plan. Right. You know, who was your go-to person, you know, throughout your life that was able to find the right words, you know what I mean, to put you back on track?
Well, I was this is another reason why my circumstances were different, because I was raised in a house with two sets of parents, really, because my grandparents were in the house as well. So I had this trinity of women constantly flanking me for, you know, for different reasons. Like, I'd come home after a month of touring and I had, you know, this one small hat box full of wet black clothes that had never been washed for a month. And, you know, my grandmother would be there and she would tenderly look after me and feed me back up and, you know, do all my washing and sort of, like, domestically repair what had undone.
That's it, isn't it? I think behind every authentic star there's someone there that's nurturing, you know, that they can kind of cocoon back into, you know, rebuild themselves, you know, dust themselves off and get back out there again.
Yeah, well, because, you know, it's true, you need your defenders and in fact, actually, my mum, who was quite a young mum, she's only about 20 years older than me, she's and so she was in the music business back then. She's very sharp, intelligent.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, she sometimes sees the truth that I was wishing I wasn't having to face at the time, you know.
Yeah, right.
And she would be the voice of reason there, but it was my grandmother always that would just, as you said, nurture. Nurture and get me back to that child
space. Yeah, it is just so beautiful to have that. And it is important to find that, I think, if you don't have that within your own home, you know, because it's challenging, isn't it? Because we assume just because you're musical that all your family is, but a lot of people, you know, their parents are actually very nervous about them being on that journey and, you know, they don't know where the gene came from or the talent came from, but, you know, they don't fully understand that drive and that passion, you know, prefer them to take a sort of, you know, a safer route.
you're quite right. And I mean, you know, I don't meet many children who are considering how safe they are. Meaning, like, they're often very they're without fear. You know, and being that I'm a parent of a 13-year-old, I'm like, constantly refraining from calling my daughter exactly at 4:31 when she finished the school and says, well, where are you? And,
yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Who are you walking with? And it's going to get dark in exactly 53 minutes and 35 seconds. You know.
That's where mobile phones are brilliant, you know.
I know.
Checking in every second. I know that feeling.
I know. So blasé. Really?
Well, actually, it was funny. I was, as we were sort of chatting about, you know, I don't know if you realise because you're so humble, but, you know, you are everyone's best friend. I don't think you know how many best friends you have out there because, you know what, I don't know if you know, but you've been connecting with us for like 30 years. You've been at all of our parties from our 16th to our 18th to our 21st. You know, you've cried with us. You've, you know, celebrated successes with us. You know, our kids have been listening to you, you know, in the background of our lounges and our kitchens, you know. And the best part, as you just said, is, you know, with our kids now, you know, they're sort of in their teens and they're starting to choose your music for themselves. I mean, it's coming full circle. I mean, how does that feel, you know, to know that that's been your journey just by trying to be creative and artistic?
Oh, gosh, it's such a beautiful... Thank you so much. Gosh, I'm speechless. I only know myself, and I'm very selective about the concerts I go and see because it's sort of excruciating being an audience member when you've been an artist on stage for so long. Sometimes you can't quite receive it in that way. But I remember sitting in the audience of Leonard Cohen's last concert at Rod Laver, and he's 70 plus at the time, and you know, he's employed all of his friends, which, you know, to surround him with love and sincerity, actually, because it's such a sincere concert. And I looked at him and I went, you know, when I grow up, I want to be you because you've brought everything with you. Like,
that's it.
You haven't jettisoned 1 minute. You haven't wasted 1 moment of your life. And you know, there was never any question. There was no right, wrong, no judgment.
That's it.
It was just that you produced and that you are here today.
With,
you know, integrity and honest, you know, you're just being...
It's absolute unconditional love, you know, for the art and the people that happen to kind of like it, you know.
Yeah, well,
if you like it, come along. Yeah.
Well, you kind of have... Yeah, exactly. I mean, people will travel with you. I've had fans that I've... that were on talking gigs or even just after that for Brave, and for all of their adult life, we saw and met up with each other again for 25 years. But they've fallen off and out into their own lives. And I know, you know, what had been something which was, you know, quite energising for them, the relationship, has now been sublimated by life.
Yes.
And and now we literally are friends, you know. We just talk and almost there's this sort of like sometimes, you know, there's this sort of like, oh, do you remember when I was such a dag? I didn't ever get... And I don't think of it like that. I don't see it like that at all. You know, and then that sort of quickly disperses and then again we just sort of sit and talk and we're just talking about life, aren't we?
Yeah, it just becomes that, it's like that relaxed wisdom, isn't it, of, you know what, do you remember that? And look, this is where we're heading. But I listened to one of your interviews with Booktopia and, you know, with your book I'm Talking and, you know, I was so excited to hear that you have not finished your artistic journey yet. And I totally get that. I mean, I'm 46, I'm only just comfortable enough in my own skin. So really my life is only, my authentic life has only just started. And I can feel that you're kind of in that same boat. You know, I guess I'd love to hear, can you give us a taster of what it would look like for Kate Sobrano to feel artistically, you know, content and fulfilled?
Well, I covered the kind of career that Crowded House had later in their lives, where they had a small ensemble which they just travelled across the world to wherever their heart fancied, making loving popular music.
Yes.
That, to me, is the cradle right there. And,
absolutely.
You know, I just want to go and find a place like that where I'm just comfortably laying in that cradle where it isn't a question of success or failure. It's just, let's just keep doing this and keep loving at this and keep giving love in that way.
I love that idea. Actually, a beautiful friend of mine and also who was on the show, Simone Walsh, it's worth a listen. You know, she came from a very difficult life early days and has now made a bit of a success of herself. And, you know, her stepfather has an 80-seater plane, private plane, where all the seats are first class and we get to choose any destination that we want to go to.
Can I come?
Yeah, you absolutely, you know, and I'm not kidding. This is what we're planning. So,
I'm totally there.
It's just going to be magnificent. Can you imagine like-minded people, just, you know, 60 to 80 of them all on one plane? So.
Oh, look, it's got well, you know what? I'll tell you something happened. You know, I had a very rare part of a cultural kind of experience when Mieta O'Donnell, so she was at the forefront of early gastronomy in Australia, like, for instance, when there were no real fine food. You know, it was well before MasterChef and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
So she had this beautiful salon in the city where she would serve this dining experience and then she'd match it and marry it with great wines and great music.
Oh, sounds divine.
And you'd be, you know, and there were poets, there were journalists, there were political journalists, writers, there were singers, there were dancers, there were travellers, you know. And in this one parlour was her... the sort of doyen of society, kind of introducing everyone to everyone. It was so civilised that, and you knew you could take away with you a small portion of every one of those people in that room.
Yes.
And your life was better for having met them before.
I think you've just described Simone's vision. That's exactly what her plan is. Yeah. I know. It just sounds magnificent, doesn't it? You know, beautiful chefs, you know, people with great intentions, all like-minded. And we even thought maybe we'll have a few personal trainers on this. So
they can
get us moving.
All the pounds that we're gaining while we're going up.
How much fun would that be?
Is this for real or is this
just for real? This is for real. Yeah, a hilarious woman. A big visionary that she is. And, yeah, that's where it's all heading. You know what? You can be honest with me. As a mother, I have a rule. After 8 o'clock at night, kitchen is closed. I don't, you know what? Don't ask me a thing, or, you know, and hope for a response. Yeah. It's shutdown time. But that's my world. But in your world as a working mum, you know, while I'm shutting down, you're actually getting warmed up. Do you have some nights where you just feel like Adele, where you say, you know, she said in front of 60,000 people, "I love you all, but sometimes I'd rather be snuggling up on the couch with my husband and child and eating Chinese."
Well, that's what makes Adele Adele, isn't it?
It is.
You know, and I think actually part of the vernacular of women like Adele, or even, dare I say it, like myself, is that we always say what we think.
Yes.
And so, in fact, last night when I was doing a show, I was singing with my amazing maestro, Paul Grabowski, who together, you know, he's like my Rachmaninoff. He's more than I could ever imagine, you know, and how he's gonna slap me for this, but how he can even dumb himself down to enjoy the same simple love and truth that we do when we're performing these love songs.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the guy's like, he's a professor of music. And sometimes there we are with his wife and she has insisted that we play the way we were.
Aww.
And, you know, and there's tears in the house because it's the truth. It's so sweet. Anyway,
what I'm making is that...
Sometimes things come out and you have to own it, you know. If you're there and you're standing there in front of a live audience, it's actually what makes the investment an audience makes it in a live concert even more valuable. In fact, I love the fact that in Australia, if you make small errors or you slip over or you kind of just challenge the fact that you're not watching television. In fact, you're watching a person who's a live human being she's using and working all of her magic to make this work. But sometimes, you know, there are cracks. And what is that thing, that line that Leonard says? And that's where the light, what is it? There are cracks in every one of us.
That's it. It's so beautiful, isn't it? And, you know, I guess those moments are so worth it too, in the way you just talked about the selfie age, and, you know, that it becomes real again, doesn't it? And I think that's what everyone loves about you, and that's, you know, that's why we're still champion. We want to see what you know, where you're going to head. I can't wait to see. Who knows what Kate Sabrana is going to do next?
No, I love the impermanence of that. I want to, you know, like... Yeah, there's something too permanent about that other culture that you're locked within a frame of
it is, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. We've got to shake the tree a little bit on that one. Okay, finally, I know you've got to go. So finally, last question. You're at home, okay?
Yeah.
You have your winter Uggies on, your favourite tracky dacks.
Can I tell you what I'm sitting in?
Oh, here we go. Comfy sloppy jumper?
No. Because this is just how I am. I'm such a romantic, right?
Okay.
I have to tell you the backstory of this. I hope you've got time.
I've got loads of time.
I saw a movie about Gilbert Sullivan, I think it was. I think he's yeah, and all the actors would sit backstage in these Japanese kimonos in the 20s and 30s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with their cigarettes and you know, all their makeup done, you know, fresh and bold, but in these gorgeous silk kimonos covered in peonies and things. So I became obsessed with kimonos. And
here we go.
And that kind of culture of the artist when he's not on stage. What do you want to wear most? You want to wear a shift dress, not a stitch's clothing underneath, mm-hmm. and a kimono. That's what you want to wear. So I'm sitting in my own little room. I have a little room, the ladies' lounge, up the front of the house.
Yes.
And I've got, you know, everyone around me that I love pictures on the walls and a big wall of library of books and I'm in my kimono.
You are hilarious. That is so funny. Here I am pitching you in Ugg boots, you know, your favourite dackies, you know, and your comfy sloppy jumper, but no, it happens to be a kimono.
Well, let me let me deconstruct the image just to freshen and tell you, I still have my makeup on from last night's show.
Right.
And when I woke up this morning, my daughter said, "Mum, you look like you've been hit by a rock and roll stick."
And you go, "You know what? Yes, I have."
I'm proud of it, and
so proud of it. And okay, so then you're meandering around the house, you're enjoying your time. Okay, which sort of genre do you find yourself humming the most? Is it, come on, you can be honest. Is it jazz? Is it soul? Is it theatre?
Oh,
or is it pop?
I don't know if I hum.
Oh,
isn't that weird?
Okay,
yeah,
it's the full thing or nothing at all.
Yeah,
and that's pretty much how you live life, I think. Do you know what I mean? So, okay.
If I'm not singing at the top of my lungs, I'm never humming.
Yeah. Like, pick one. Which one is it? You know, that's the hilarious part.
It feels
like
humming feels like too much like warming up.
Yeah. Well, we're fantastic and, you know, we're looking forward to creating some more memories. You know, it's Sunday on the 11th of June. Certainly I'm going to be there. A few of my friends are going to be there and, you know, half Mornington.
Well, you know, because it's like a jazz festival, right? Because that's how it is really, isn't it? Because I'm not sure if... this is the morning, yeah, because we've got the sextet, a variety of plays that we're celebrating 30 years.
That's
of
right.
Having made that record from the Ether, actually. This is so you know, on so many levels, it's a complete circle. In fact, I'm coming back out that way.
Yeah,
this is
it
playing
feels like
music that I was, at, well, when I first met you, probably as a 17 to 18 year old, this is the kind of stuff I was interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so isn't you'll get a glimpse into the early Kate Sobrano.
I know. It's just going to be fantastic. And thank you for being in all of our lives, sharing and connecting, you know, our stories. And guess that's what it's all about, isn't it? And being that, you know, it's kind of an iconic, kind of authentic songwriter, you know, that's who you are and this is what you do. So it's just wonderful. It really is. So we'll be all there. Thank you so much for your time. You know.
No worries. It's so lovely to come up and say
good day. We so will. And I'll send you information about the 80-seater.
Okay, gorgeous. All right, I'm in. I'm your resident diva.
Oh, that would be fabulous. All right.
Okay. All right.
Talk to you soon. Thank you again.
You're listening to RPP 98.7, Your Story Counts with Nan and Simone, and that was the famous Kate Sobrano, the beautiful, big-hearted Kate Sobrano.
Yeah, for sure. And she loved the idea of the 80-seater.
I know. Yeah. Do you know what? I did her numerology as well, and she's a 32-5, exactly the same as me. She's got the same numbers as me.
Wow.
And it's number 5 is all about fun, freedom and travel.
There you go.
So it's totally in line.
You guys are on the same path. Yeah.
The stars are aligned.
Yeah, and she loves movies as well. Yeah. You guys are going to be doing a movie together. exciting. Again, you know, we're going to manifest that one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Just beautiful, wasn't it, just to hear her just natter about some of her ideas and experiences in life and, you know, sort of, you know, where she hasn't finished yet. That was the exciting part. She's got dreams and ambitions and a huge amount of drive. It genuinely feels like she still loves to do what she does.
She's so passionate about what she does.
Mm.
Yeah, and she's just such, it's got such a beautiful heart.
Yeah.
It comes from that authenticity.
Yeah, she has, that's right. It's the heart that keeps her going, isn't it? And she's, you know, she's a working mum just like us.
Yeah.
You know, she's, and that's what I was laughing with her was, you know, how exhausting that must be. At times, although she said she absolutely loves it and it's all about being in the moment and being present for her audience. But I know where I'm at about 8 o'clock at night.
I want to go to bed. I want to jump into bed under the doona by 8:30.
That's right. Yeah, we're just hanging out, watching Netflix and, you know, flicking through social media, you know, wind down time. So she's quite superhuman at that level, I feel. But anyway, thank you, Simone, for joining me while we've been going through that wonderful interview and that moment for me. we've got the news now, and next week we're going to be, you know, we're going to be talking with Jeff Nyssen.
Wow.
He's going to, he's back. He obviously hasn't been too well. He's been, you know, being a part of going through stem cell therapy. You know, he's back up and running. So we're really looking forward to playing some tunes with him and exploring, you know, some of the challenges that he's been having over the last few weeks. But yeah, so that'd be fabulous. And then a few weeks after that, we've got a local bit of a star, but she's in the, you know, the horse race game. And she's had a whole family in that for generations. So we're going to hear all about a bit of a Mornington star.
Fantastic.
So that'd be fabulous as well. So there we go. Well, that was us for today.
Yes. Thank you for joining us.
It was fabulous.
On Your Story Counts.
Here we go. We've got the news.